Shalom to the bride of Christ, and God bless you wherever you are. Good evening to you. And it's another moment to fellowship around God's word on our weekly program, our weekly Bible study program, Ask the Pastor. We're happy to have you with us. Thanks for connecting. Thanks for joining us. I'm Brother Olumide Jesus David, and this program is established, raised to help all Bible students. We know in the Christian faith today, there are so many questions, especially for those who are seeking truth. That's why we've created this platform, so that you can always ask questions. And they say, he that asks questions doesn't miss his road. So please join us in fellowship this evening. Ask the pastor doctrinal questions, questions concerning your spiritual life, salvational questions. And please, this is not a dream interpreting program. So please, let's limit it to biblical questions. And by the grace of God upon our pastor, the Lord will provide clear answers to every question that we ask this evening. And our pastor remains a man of God that is very funny to be with. None else but the overseer of the Bride Assembly Lagos Church, Pastor Moses Alu. Shalom, sir.
Shalom, shalom. It's not that they are funny. They always make me laugh. I'm always a happy man. I'm happy because Jesus has set me free.
Amen.
There is a joy that goes with freedom. And so I have no need again because to be worried, for he says, when peace like a river attended my way,
amen,
when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, he has taught me to know
it is well
with my soul.
Hallelujah.
Welcome again to this another episode of the question and answer. From my answers, you will see why I am always happy. Because he has caused me to know the mystery.
Amen.
Of the salvation, mystery. Amen. Of redemption.
Amen.
Known as the mystery of God.
Amen.
Mystery of godliness.
Amen.
It's opportunity for us to interact as Bible students.
That's right.
It's a Bible study session. So let's ask the real teacher to come and teach us.
Amen.
Today. As we pray, our Father who art in heaven,
amen,
hallowed be thy name.
Amen.
We worship you today because you have made it possible again for us to use this timely technology to interact with each other in real time.
Yes,
accept
Lord.
Our thanks in the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
Lord, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And Father, we are here to know your word. Father, come, O Lord, and be with us.
Amen.
And teach us.
Amen.
And guide us.
Amen.
Open our eyes of understanding.
Amen.
Establish us, Father, in the truth, the present truth.
Amen.
Of salvation, in the name of Jesus
Christ. Amen.
Come and bless this broadcast today,
yes, Lord.
Lord. Bless the hearer.
Amen.
And bless our means of communication.
Amen.
Bless the equipment that we are using, Heavenly Father. Let there be no problem. And cause those you have ordained, Heavenly Father, to be part of this program, Papa, to be connected.
Amen.
Each free, we pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Come and take control. We'll hand over this Bible study session we call Question and Answers unto you today. Come and answer all our questions, we
amen.
Pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Thank you so much, sir. So it's time to ask the pastor. Get your phone ready, send those questions, and the Lord will provide clear answers through his servants in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, sir. You preached an interesting sermon yesterday. You know, another look at the cross.
Why the cross?
Why
yes.
the cross?
Yes.
Yes. And you emphasized on, but what was the inspiration behind that sermon, sir?
The inspiration is the title, Why the Cross?
Okay.
Remember some few years back, I also had reason to preach another one, Why the Virgin Birth?
That's right.
You know, why the Virgin Birth? That is the inspiration. Why? The question is the inspiration. When you begin to meditate on God's salvation and the process of God's salvation, then you will ask, why did he do this? Why? And when you begin to ask why, you even come down. Why does he keep me alive until I am saved? Why didn't he allow me to die, you know, before I knew him? Why? And a good student begins with why. All research institutions is why. Why this, why that. It's in the course of looking for answer to those questions, that we have all the things, solutions provided for the betterment of mankind in this, from these research centers. Why of all the death? It's true, Gamaliel said something that, we know that somebody has to die. Mm. You know, they knew that Gamaliel had that revelation.
Caiaphas.
The high priest, Caiaphas. He had that revelation. Mm. So why must it be death on the cross? Mm. Why didn't they stone them in Israel by stoning?
That's right.
You know, why didn't even the Romans
cut off his head?
Cut off his head or beat him to death? Mm. You know, why did he have to hang on the cross? And so that is the inspiration, and the answers began to come.
Mm. Amen.
You know, and the answer will continue to come. It's just part of it. We had always limited ourselves as that was a price for redemption, and that it is an emblem of shame,
suffering and shame.
Shame, because it took our cause, and the most is an evidence, and all the things we know about, you know, the price for redemption that was paid, but it could have been paid anywhere else. Why the cross? So when you begin to ask such questions, then you will see the kind of answers that God will give you.
Amen.
And, I discovered that from scriptures we read that two things happened when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden. Man disconnected from God in relationship. And man, again, the children of Adam also disconnected in fellowship. We came about by one blood, and that's the blood of Adam. And now we no longer see ourselves as blood brothers. Something happened that we now see ourselves, you know, about what race you come from, what country you belong, what region you belong, what color of your skin, what is your tribe, what is your clan, and who is your father. Immediate father, you know, that we've lost out our origin, that we all came from one blood. Now we kill ourselves. Now enmity, wars. What is in Nigeria here? What is Fulani Herdsmen? Why will you kidnap your own blood brother and ask another brother of yours to bring a ransom before you release your own brother? Because it is only because the whole of that fellowship has been broken. And to restore us back to how it should be in the beginning, this is how it was, to bring us back to true fellowship. You are a Yoruba man. Pastor Zoe is an Igbo man. I am what you call Hausa man. And then now I can call Olumide my brother and truly relate with you as my brother and feel what you feel as a brother, rejoice with you, sorrow for you, stand in the gap, fast for you, fight for you, no longer because you are Yoruba, but because we are now linked by a blood.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ achieved it. So that is what the cross symbolized, which many of us have not taken notice of, including me, until that inspiration came. It is about a vertical relationship with God established and hanging on him, a horizontal relationship among the brethren. Vertical with God in heaven, our Father, which art in heaven.
Amen.
He didn't say my Father. It's our Father who art in heaven. And what joined us together is our Father, We are all hanging on him, for without him we can do nothing.
Wow.
That is the inspiration. And you see, all this is talking about love, brotherly kindness, brotherly love. Mm. And that's all the scriptures talking about. Fellowship with the Father and with the Son.
Amen.
God bless you.
Please try your possible best to get that sermon. Visit our archives and it will be there. Why the Cross, a very interesting sermon. Please get it, it will bless you richly. Okay, let's begin to take questions from our brethren around the world. Good evening, my brother, Pastor Alu. I am Ugbuanya Ezekiel, residing in Kefi, Nasarawa State. I'm an ardent follower of your message. Please, there's something I want to seek clarification. I listened to your recorded message on television where I think I heard you say, once saved, always saved, or forever saved. Please, I need clarification. Thanks so much, sir. Once saved, forever saved.
When the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19.
Okay. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
When you say reconciling, that is, that word, it means there was a relationship. Mm. There was a relationship.
Amen.
Something happened. It's a family affair. Mm. We call him our father because we all came from him. Now, this reconciliation process lets you know that you understand that from the earthly physical setting of a father here. If you don't see it that way, you will never understand redemption. Physical things make you understand spiritual things. Mm. That we are, I did not join my family. Mm. I did not join my family to be part of that family. Mm. If I had a choice, I know which family I would go and join. Whatever it is, I was born into that family. And the process of that birth is the same way you see spiritual. Mm. Once I am born, you want to confirm that I am my father's son. There is a DNA and Amen. Other things you look at that confirm it.
That's right.
Now, because I did not join, because I did not write an agreement, it was not a contract, I was born there, I am a part of my father.
Amen.
Until you understand this, I am a part of my father. Mm. And my father is not complete without me. Mm. I am part of him. So wherever I go, my father is not complete, he's not happy, he's incomplete without me because I am a part of him. Mm. That's the reason why if my father is cursed, it affects me because I am also cursed because I am part of him. There is a link between us. Mm. Now, is there anything I can do that can stop me from being his son? Nothing. Because his blood is in me. If it is possible to remove his blood from me and put another person's blood, which is ever impossible, then he can disown me and it will stand. Therefore, once my father's son, forever my father's son I remain. Now, I am either a good son or a bad son.
But you're a son.
But I am a son.
Okay.
With the consequences of being good or bad.
Mm.
But I am a son.
Amen.
So it is with God. People don't understand what salvation is. Salvation is the great eternal spirit reconciling with his children.
Mm.
We have always been his. So what it does is when you finally come, he gives you his spirit.
Mm.
Which is, and his spirit is the Holy Spirit, which is actually the eternal life. Now, eternal life has no beginning, has no end. That is the life of God. You see, you have to understand that anything that is eternal has no end.
Mm. Amen.
And And that is why you cannot be born again by the Spirit, because 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13 says, for by
the one spirit. Amen.
Read it for them.
1 Corinthians 12, 13.
Yes.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body.
It's by one Spirit. By one Spirit. That Spirit is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That brings you in. So once you are saved, and you are not saved until you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, that is the eternal life that comes upon you, the life of God that dwells inside of you. Once you are saved by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not water baptism only.
And not repentance only.
Not repentance only. It is a process. I say it's a process. The sealing of it all. Once you are saved, forever you are saved. That is why in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse
30. Ephesians 4:30.
Yes.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Sealed. You are sealed by the Holy Ghost. A seal. Seal there is finished work.
Unto the day of redemption.
Till the day we leave this skin, we are sealed.
Wow.
We leave this flesh, I mean. So forever saved.
So I think the problem is always with repentance. Some people have repented, but they are not yet converted. And then if that repented fellow should backslide, and people think, oh, he has lost his salvation.
You know, even when filled with the Holy Spirit, can backslide. You see, when the Bible says walk in the Spirit, if you don't have the Spirit, how can you walk in it?
Yeah, but you also taught us that if you have the Holy Spirit, you will not find pleasure in sin.
That's what I'm saying. Sin. You will not find pleasure in sin. There are two reasons why you will not find pleasure in sin. The first reason is because the nature change. You cannot enjoy the things of the past anymore. The second reason why you will not take pleasure in sin, because you know if you did, the Father will deal with you.
Okay.
So when you go, when you remember the consequence, you run away. You stay away. So you stay away from sin. That is what the new birth achieves in you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Okay. Let's have more questions. Good evening, sir. God bless you real good. Please, sir, is there anything like a Christian being higher than another? Okay, okay. Also, is it proper or improper for one with a lower anointing to pray for or help spiritually? To pray for help spiritually.
The first question is,
is there anything like a Christian being higher than another?
No, it's grace.
Okay.
Because in Mark chapter 4, it speaks about 30-fold grace,
60-fold
grace, and 100-fold grace. So we're talking about measure, and you are to pray within the measure of the faith given to you. It's the grace that is given to you. Now, healing gift, for instance, there are people that will heal certain, you know, level of sickness, while others with another healing gift too, their grace may not reach that level. For instance, Christ himself will say, this kind cannot go except by fasting and prayer. And it's not everyone that can fast. So even the ability to fast is a measure of faith for the work that you have to do.
Wow.
So yes, I believe that.
Okay. Let's have that question again. He has more questions. Okay. Awesome. Okay. This is because some years ago, I had some issues that got me looking desperately for a solution. So I tried to see one of the prophets, including you, sir. But I discovered that the more I tried, the more it seemed like a waste of time. It was on one of these occasions that a sister saw me and told me right there in the church that why am I wasting my time? That I wouldn't see the person I want. She told me to go and join faith together with my husband and went back home to do that. But until now, there seemed not to be much difference. Hence the reason for my question. Thank you, sir. Olufunke from Abuja. That's someone with a lower grace.
Well,
going to meet someone with a higher grace for a particular situation.
There's nothing wrong about that if you see a grace of God on somebody's life that you don't have. If you identify a grace that you don't have and then you want to share the grace, there's nothing wrong about
it. The reason for our question is she joined faith with some brethren as a sister prophesied to her, and yet the condition did not change.
She said she tried to see me.
Yeah, at first.
And see the
prophet.
Maybe she couldn't.
Then someone told her to
then
join
somebody
faith
said,
with her husband.
Why wasting your time? Why not go and join faith with your husband? Because it's the power of prayer of agreement.
Yes, sir.
That is it, you know. And that she did it and it still didn't work. Now, such a sister needs counseling. So it is counseling you need, because God answers prayers. He says, if you have faith as little as mustard seed, as little as a mustard seed, you know, you will do exploits with it. So that sister needs counseling, because you must have faith. From the way the question is put, the sister seems not to have faith. And she seems to depend more on other people. And God himself, who does not like faithlessness, can frustrate it to make you look up to what he has deposited inside of you instead of looking out there. So that sister needs counseling and not the number of prayer or things like that on you. It is a dead person that needs that kind of help. You're not dead, you're alive.
Okay.
So the person needs counseling. You
all
need
right.
counseling.
Okay.
So maybe you have to give us a call personally and then we'll talk with you.
Amen. So Sister Olufunke, if you are listening to us from Abuja, give us a call and the pastor will talk to you or any of the other pastors. Okay. More questions coming in. Shalom, Brother Moses. What is the biblical stand on restitution? Sister Mercy from Makurdi, Benue State, Nigeria.
I don't know the Bible stand about restitution. The word restitution, I mean in the line of her question. You know, restitution has in under grace, restitution is covered by two words. Restitution is repentance and confession. That is restitution in the under grace. It's repentance and confession.
Repentance and confession.
Yes.
To man, not to God. Confession
now,
to...
Now, repentance and confession after you have become born again. After you have become a Christian. Now, restitution, you restitute what is restitutable. Whatever you did as an unbeliever that can be corrected. But I quickly want to let you know that when it comes to salvation, God is more interested in repentance than restitution. Because his word covers it. The things that we did in ignorance,
he overlooked.
He has winked at it. He has overlooked it.
Mm.
Secondly, he said, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Thirdly, you cannot be judged in retrospect. There is no law under grace that has retrospective effects. You cannot be judged by a law that you were not under.
Okay.
Where there is no law, there is no sin. It is the law that makes us no sin.
That's right.
Apostle Paul broke it down for us. It is wrong to catch a criminal and then to punish him. After you've caught him, then you enact a law so that you will not pronounce him guilty. That would be wrong. You know, I think there was one government in Nigeria that did something like that, and it attracted a worldwide condemnation. Drug pushers, then, you know, they put a death penalty by a military decree. And then there were some people that were caught, and they were under detention while that law, before that law was enacted, and they were tried under that law years back, and they were executed. And it created an uproar all over the world. So also, our God is more faithful and righteous than that. So what God is interested in now, the law is applicable to us when we are under the law of Christ. You are to confess. When I do anything to you, I'm doing anything bad, hurting you, hurting God, the first thing is stop it by repentance. Turn around and stop doing it. God wants you to stop it. And if you don't stop it, he knows what to do to you to make you stop it. Restitution is confession. Brother Olumide, that your money you were looking for, after you must have spent it 1 month ago, restitution is, I am the one that took it. I am sorry. I will pay you back as soon as I have it, or I have it now. Take it. That is restitution under grace. It's confession. That's all.
Okay. But God is more interested in repentance. What if someone doesn't have the courage to go and, you know, confess this to you know, maybe the damage is so much and the person is like, how will I face this person?
As but
the
a
person,
Christian.
Yes.
No, we are dealing with Christians.
Okay.
The person listening to you too will listen to you with the Spirit of Christ, because he too is under another law of forgiveness.
So you don't confess to an unbeliever that you ought?
No. I mean, to an unbeliever. Oh, what if you're a Christian?
Now you're a Christian.
Then you hurt an unbeliever. No, you have to go.
Okay, but before you can do any restitution, you must firstly be a Christian,
you
be born
be
again.
You must be a Christian, that's what I'm saying. That's when it is acceptable, okay. Because that's the law of Christ. You are now under the law.
But the things you did as an unbeliever,
the law.
No restitution.
No, there's no restitution. Okay, the blood of Jesus has washed it.
Thank God.
When you have so many bad things. All of us had a lot of bad things, but where are my sins now?
Under
the blood. Hallelujah. The mystery is deep. The Amen. Mystery of the blood of Jesus, the mystery of the cross is deep.
Amen.
And therefore, no condemnation.
Amen.
Don't condemn yourself.
Amen.
For those who are in Christ Jesus, Amen. No more condemnation.
Amen. Thank you,
my
sir.
My sins are fully paid, including the restitution.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Because a lot of holiness preachers,
I know, they create a lot of confusion with this teaching on restitution.
Well, you can get the pastor's messages on restitution. It will really bless you. You know, we are properly taught in this church that you don't restitute marriages. In case you are confused about that, just give us a call or send your question. Okay, we have a question. Shalom, sir. You are doing a great work. More grace. Please, I want to know concerning burial. If a person dies and buried without burial ceremony that day, maybe because of finance issue, as a Christian, is it good for one to participate in the ceremony on whenever it's fixed? Or is it a must that the dead person will remain in morgue until the day of burial?
It's all tradition. It's all tradition. You know, I believe that one of the reasons we take a ceremony and do funerals, it is to pay a last respect, because you know, once it's put under the earth, you can't see the person again. The last time you see the person is that very moment where they call laying in state, where you open and you see the face for the last time, and then the coffin is covered and is lowered. It is a ceremony of passing, you're giving your last respect. And sometimes that person has affected many people's lives. So you want to give opportunity to as many as will want to pass that respect. So you give enough notice for people who are connected to him one way that would have loved to come. You want to give them opportunity to also come and pay their last respect. And man being what we are, it's also opportunity we begin to add unnecessary ceremonious colorations to such a ceremony. But when it is somebody that did not affect too many people's lives, the decision is not the person lying down, the decision is the family, the living elements of the family. Mm. Within the family alone, you can see, pass your last respect, put the person under the earth, and take a period of condolences, where people will come to pay their condolence to the family, to the living, and comfort the families of the departed. That is what I believe this funeral thing is all about. But anything beyond that is all hidden traditions. All depending on your nationality, your culture, especially your tradition, especially in Africa, where a lot of fetish things, what do they call it, traditional rites, you know, in line with their belief. What happens, some don't believe that, some still believe that the dead in the ground, you see, communicate, he's unhappy, so you want to appease him. Depend on their belief, and you know, the whole thing goes according to your belief. But under the Christian faith, with the knowledge that we have, if I die now and my family decides for any reason to bury me immediately or to bury me 1 year after, whatever reason, whatever they do with me has nothing to do with me. I'm gone.
Then to be with the Lord.
I am enjoying myself somewhere. I am still suffering with my dead body here. That knowledge is what, you know, differentiates us from, we, the practical Christians, from people who are one leg in their tradition, one leg in the Church of Christ. Nothing like that. Anything beyond what you know, it's just tradition. So a Christian doesn't have to do all that.
Mm. Oh, thank you, sir. And there's one that they do, some people do also, that, you know, raises some questions. Remembrance. Let's say someone has died 10 years ago, they've buried him, and then they will host, you know, a remembrance ceremony.
You know, it's all, there's no law against it.
Okay.
You know why you don't want to forget him? Sometimes it depends on what he symbolized. Take, for instance, in Nigeria, particularly in the western part of Nigeria, there are political symbols, political rallying points, like we have Chief Obafemi Awolowo. You know, he was a symbol of an ideology, a political ideology. He was a rallying point. So people of that ideological inclinations, you know, he becomes a rallying point. So they use him. For instance, the reason you gather, you know, a Christian gathering is because of Christ. So they use that as opportunity, in, you know, say we are remembering him, to revive that ideology, to remind them of who we are, where we are, to guide them that this is what our founding fathers stood for politically. So they create a so annual lecture, so memorial lecture, and then and all foundations that are raised unto him. And so also families can decide that our father, you know, remember what he stood for. He brought all of us together. Let's remember that we are who we are today because of our father. Annually, as a means of bringing us together, we will say, we'll be using one day to remember him The last day he spent on earth will be the day we gather to remind us this is our unifying force, our Father. So we remember him. It's always to achieve something, you know. It has nothing to do with the dead, certainly. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with the dead. The spirit of our Lord will not be there. The spirit of your Father that day will not be there. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that,
judgment. Yes.
And if there's any spirit that come to masquerade, he say he is your Father. It's a lie. Mm. It's a demon.
Mm.
It's a demon.
Mm.
A demon.
Oh, thank you, sir. Okay, let's have more questions. What do you mean, sir? How can one partake in the body of Christ, Sister Beulah from Lagos State, Nigeria?
By being born again.
Okay.
By one spirit. Read it again.
1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit.
One spirit, that is how. Be born again. That's all.
Okay. More questions coming in. Shalom, Daddy. Please, sir, how do I know that I have the Holy Ghost? Sister Neka from Lagos State, Nigeria.
If a man be in Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're a new creature. First is a character change, and there will be a manifestation of the Spirit.
Amen.
That will let you know He dwells in you.
Amen.
He will manifest. You will know it.
Hallelujah. Okay, more questions? Good evening. Does physical appearance really matters? For example, can one go to hell for wearing trousers? From Sister Cornelia from Namibia.
Nobody will go to hell for the way you dress. The only reason you go to hell is because you don't have eternal life, the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Mm.
And if when you have the Holy Ghost, He will also teach you how to dress acceptably before God.
Amen.
That's all.
Amen.
So the emphasis is not about the dress, it's about receiving the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
When you receive the Holy Ghost, you won't ask that question. The test for a lot of things will just go naturally. That is one evidence you have received the Holy Ghost. Always remember that there are people that don't wear trousers. Sisters don't wear trousers. There are people that even are anointed, they prophesy. They are pastors, they preach, they have branches. Mighty miracles, signs and wonders are done by the name of Jesus Christ. There are sisters that don't wear earring, they won't palm their hair. They dress with turtleneck, even their neck, you don't see it, talkless of their chest. And they may not go to heaven.
Mm.
Because the criteria for going to heaven, that is why I said that holiness is only a part of righteousness. You cannot be righteous without being holy. But you can appear holy without being righteous. I don't know if you understand my grammar.
Yes, sir.
You can appear holy.
Appear holy.
You can appear holy.
Mm.
By you find yourself doing the things that holy people do by the inspiration or guidance, the power of the indwelling spirit, they act like this, they dress like this. And because of it, you can decide to also act what they are, their appearance, and may not have what is in them that's making them dress like that. So it's very complicated, it's very interesting, the mystery is deep. That is why make sure you have the Holy Ghost and you're not making it up.
Amen.
Because there are people that are not Christians, don't even go to church. In fact, they hate the word Christ.
Mm.
But the women will not wear trousers.
That's true.
So, it's more than that.
Thank you, sir. Okay, let's have more questions. Good evening, sir. I just want to know, sir, how can somebody know his gifts? Thank you, sir. From Abraham Emmanuel from Maiduguri, Borno State, Nigeria.
You have an ability. How do you know it? You will know it by the manifestation. How do I know that I have the gift of the word of knowledge? They appear in four ways: dream, vision, audible voice, or an inspiration. So anytime you dream and it comes to pass, that's a gift. When you hear a voice, that's a gift. when you see a vision, that is a gift called the word of knowledge. Those inspirations that come like a thought. So when you begin to see that, then you know you have a gift. When you pray for people and they receive healing, it's not everyone that has the ability to pray for people and receive healing. It's a gift. So how do you know that you have the gift of speaking in tongues? It's a supernatural manifestation.
Amen.
You always find yourself, once you are in the spirit, you will hear yourself speaking in tongues.
You will hear yourself
speaking. You will hear yourself speaking in tongues, because it is not you willing it.
At all.
You prophesy, you don't know, you just sit down, something hits you, you begin to talk, and when you recover, people will tell you, this is the message you give. That's how you will know that is your gift.
Amen. Thank you, sir. The manifestation of an ability is the evidence you have.
It's the evidence. Thank you.
Thank you. Brother Titus from Abuja. God bless you, sir.
Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, Brother Titus.
God bless you, Brother Titus.
God bless you, my pastor, and my brother also, Bro Lumide.
Shalom, sir.
I'm happy with what pastor is doing and what people are doing. Lord, continue to give you more grace.
Amen. Amen. Amen and amen.
I think the person that asked the question about burial ceremony as a Christian.
Yes.
I am asking this question because I just finished burying my father. And I had reason to organize a burial ceremony, to mark his last honor. I actually used three Christian musicians who came and played. It was basically Christian burial. I don't know if that was actually out of order or is something that I don't want to hear from pastor based on the response he gave.
Yeah, I think
like another question. If it was actually right for me to have organized that musicians, the Christian musicians, to come and play in honor of my late dad.
Brother Titus, you can hear me?
Yes, daddy.
If you got my explanation, I have your question was covered. Your question is covered.
Okay.
I said that there are several reasons why people do that. Now, as Christians, every opportunity we have to attract people to come and hear some evangelical messages, to hear the gospel, we will do it, including burial. And in your own case, for instance, you know, you use the burial of your father and bring musicians, and then everybody will gather. Remember that you are the one organizing it. They are not going to drink alcohol. They are not going to, you are not going to do it like the world will do it.
Yes.
You are going to use it as opportunity to see if you can win a soul, because people are going to gather. So I will advise Christians, every opportunity you have that you will attract people to come, do that, including burial, and use the opportunity and preach. And one invitation I never miss is to go for Christian burials. I don't miss that opportunity at all. I'm excited because I know different groups of people will come.
Mm.
And then I'm excited. When I come there, I must win some souls.
Mm.
Not by making an altar call, come and kneel down. And no, I will say things that will strike through to the heart of the people, because the Bible tells us that it is better to be in the house of mourning than to be in the house of feasting. Yeah. Why? Because there are lessons to be learned about the vanity of lives and how that the life you live is surely going to come to an end. And an evangelist will look for such opportunity, you know, and address unbelievers. There is no burial, no funeral I have attended that I will not hear years later the effect of that, you know. Just not taking, just give me 1 hour, I will say 1 hour, all hour. In fact, 1 hour is too much. Give me 30 minutes, I will nail it there until everybody's head will be down. Occult people will begin to think again. Drunkards will begin to think again. Adulterers will begin to think again. And people who have put God secondary, they will begin to think again that they are going to give account. See the evidence, see the person lying here. He had life like too many things for an evangelist to, you know, to use. You know, I'm an evangelist. I'm an every evangelist is an opportunist.
Yes.
So Brother Titus, it was a good opportunity. And anybody listening to me now, in fact, even if you don't have money, go and borrow money and do funeral, invite people to come, because that your money may get one soul to the kingdom. God bless you.
God bless you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Titus. God bless you. Okay, more questions coming in. Shalom, Pastor, please help me more on this. Why did God tell Noah to use clean animals to make a sacrifice for him? Meanwhile, God was the one that told Noah to allow boats on clean animals to enter the ark. Does he have anything to do with God's agenda? Brother Ifeanyi from Delta State, Nigeria.
Yeah, because both the clean and the unclean are created by him for his purpose. So the clean one is going to have a purpose for them. And the unclean one, he will also use them later. God bless you.
This Bible scholar says a clean animal is animal acceptable for sacrifice.
That's why I say. That's why I say. I say they are all there for a purpose.
Okay.
The clean animals are, he's going to use them for sacrifice. The unclean animals has certainly another purpose. Remember, in a great house, there are many vessels. Some to honor,
and some to dishonor.
But it's the same owner of the house, that great house, that brought it to for a purpose.
Amen. And all of them are cleansed now.
But for now, well, I'm limiting it to Noah's ark.
Okay.
Okay. Noah's ark.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. More questions coming in.
Certainly, they're all clean.
Brother Chima from Port Harcourt, River State, Nigeria. God bless you, sir. Let's hear you.
Shalom, Pastor.
Shalom. God bless you, Brother Chima.
There's this issue that has been on ground on my side. I always saw myself with cutlass in Revelation or a dream. Even while preaching in that dream, I will be holding cutlass. And it happened frequently to the extent that even yesterday, someone was asking her about that cutlass that I always hold. And she told the person that she can't explain, because I always told her that about that cutlass in dream. That whatever I'm doing in gym, I will be with cutlass. So I don't know. That's why I wanted to find out from the pastor what the meaning of that cutlass.
Well, Brother Chima, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to answer you, but for the sake of others, this is not a dream interpretation session, because a dream is not a doctrine. Every dream is peculiar to the person that is having the dream. So if you ask me on air like this, what that sword may mean to you, it may mean another thing to another person. And that is why when we want to talk about interpretation of dreams, we always like to make it more personal than general. But to answer your question, and hope that another person will not ask me about their dream, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and verse 11,
finally, my brethren,
yes,
be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Now, among the armor of God, one of them is what you are holding, verse 17.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit.
It is a sword of the Spirit,
which is the word of God.
The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And so God can be telling you that your victory is in holding the word. Because in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, by the sword of the Spirit, why the word of God is the sword of the Spirit?
For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Can you see?
Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit.
Hear what it does? What does it do?
Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Amen. So God bless you. Our strength is in the word of God. When you speak it, it breaks asunder whatever it is.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you so much, sir.
So don't let the word of God depart from you.
Amen.
Okay. Another disclaimer notice. We don't want you to ask questions concerning dreams and interpretations. Please, let's stay with the Bible. It's time for Bible study. If you have any dream that needs interpretation, join our prophets every day, 5 p.m. on Facebook. Yeah. Let us pray. You can ask them that question concerning your dream and they will give interpretation and the Spirit of God reveals to them. But please, for ask the pastor, let's stay with biblical questions.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take one more question. I got to know the end time message through Bright Assembly TV. I located the church at Ijesha. I used to attend the church, but with bad road and distance and cost of transportation, I decided to look for anyone around my area. I live at Ajagbadi Ojo. I found one. For this, they married more than one wife. In process of time, I was no longer comfortable with their teaching. Then I ran away. I found another one which I am attending. I'm not enjoying it because they are William Branham fanatics. To the extent of any quote or saying of Jesus Christ or Apostle Paul in the Bible, they will say William Branham say, unquote, I don't see progress for the church. I mean new members coming. I notice anyone that comes doesn't come back again because of their teaching and playing of tapes. My question now is, since Bible says we should fellowship with one another, if I continue with online with Bright TV, am I going against the will of God? From Brother Job from Lagos, Nigeria.
Brother Job, and not only you, many others. That's one great problem we have at hand. Unfortunately, for so God has ordained, we don't have branches. We don't have headquarters and branches the way the denominations do. But we are going to take a very deep look at even that policy again and see how we can organize organize ourselves better. I really feel it that we have members that have to travel for far, far distances, you know, to come to Ijesha here, those who are in Lagos. I really feel it. And sometimes we made an attempt the day I went to Ikorodu, and I saw the distance and all the trouble people take from Ikorodu to come. You know, immediately I came here and then I had to literally force some ministers to go to Ikorodu, and today we have a church in a part of the Ikorodu for those who are not able to come down here. We direct them, why not go there? But we don't do that the denominational way. We help them set up the place, and we don't collect their tithes. We took care of them for a number of years. All their financial needs, we are providing it for them, for the pastors, place of worship, until they were able to raise money among themselves. They bought their own property and even built it up without us giving one kobo to them. Now they are independent. We hope to replicate that in so many other places, to take care of people like this, a brother. The enemy invaded this ministry of William Branham, invaded it and reduced it to what it is. Some of you are meeting until we don't know where to confidently direct anybody to. But one thing that God has done, knowing this, is He provided this Bright Television.
Amen.
For the past 7 years, almost 8 years now. In a few months' time, we shall be 8 years.
That's right.
God has kept this program, this channel, together with other channels that we have that we stream all simultaneously on the internet and on the free-to-air satellite television, covering the whole of Africa and a good part of Europe, every day, to the remotest parts of the hinterlands in Africa, through the satellite, to meet the needs of the true bride there. So we are not more scared in directing you anywhere, because we know you have our teachings to rate wherever you go, and you can't be deceived.
Amen.
So what you what is going on is usual. That is the impact of revelation.
Amen.
You cannot be deceived anymore by anybody. Nobody that was says is a follower of the minister with Abraham understood the messages that man preached, that we put the Bible aside for any reason and begin to hold on to what the man is saying. That would be evident you never understood what the man said.
Mm.
They turn to worship him. But you know, God knows how to deal with man. God is not in a hurry to solve any issue.
Mm.
Because the solution is already on the ground.
Amen.
You know, where are those fire of years back? Where is it now? They are all gone. With time, everybody's folly will be exposed.
Mm.
Very soon, they will soon know that they are not part of this move for the bride in this age.
Mm.
But I pray that they will wake up before it is too late.
Amen.
Unfortunately, no matter what you propagate, there will be somebody to follow you. So they have people sitting down, they are following them. So you think as if they have something there, they celebrate whatever it is. You know, the whole thing is nauseating, it's very irritating, it's, you know, it's very annoying to people, of course, that have caught the message that that man brought. However, I've always said it. He said, the false prophets will come to be so close that if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect.
That's right.
The elect can never be deceived.
Amen.
Because God has provided such a ministry for you. So please, my brother, since you are within Lagos, once a while, come to the church. Once a while, come. And then before you know what, you will soon meet other people. We have house fellowships that are near. There are brethren that will meet with you there, and then you have brethren to fellowship with. Please, any day you are in Lagos, you are in Ijesha, come and see me. We will talk. Meet Brother Olumide. Brother Olumide is my assistant pastor. He's not associate pastor. He's my assistant pastor. So if you meet him, he will counsel you, bring you to me.
Okay, we have a call, sir. Brother Joseph from Jos, Plateau State, Nigeria. God bless you, sir.
Okay. Shalom.
Shalom, Brother Joseph from Jos.
Yes, sir. I'm watching you and your eldest son.
God bless you.
So, I have a question that has been bothering me. I tried to see this many times, and no people won't accept me.
So you have opportunity now before the line will go off and you miss it. So talk quickly.
Okay. In John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 27, why is it that the members of Jesus' family were living in action at Golgotha? Secondly, does it mean that the terrorist Jewish authority attacked Jesus' family that made John the beloved to take Mary to live in his house? That is my question. Why are the members of Jesus' family living in action at the cross of Babylon?
When you say the members of Jesus' family, it's not all the disciples. It's not even all the disciples that were at Golgotha that day.
Mm.
Yes.
Because you take note that after his resurrection, there were 120 that gathered at the upper room at his instruction.
And his brethren were there, his family was there.
And his brethren, his family, they were there also. So let's read it in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14.
This all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication.
Yes.
With the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus,
yes,
and with his brethren.
So they were all there at the upper room. God bless you, Brother Joseph.
Okay, thank you, Brother Joseph. God bless you. Okay, we'll take a short break now so that the pastor can take a glass of water. When we come back,
and assistant pastor can also reposition himself.
And when we come back, we'll continue to ask the pastor. So please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.